Okay, good morning, class. I'd like to have the a dilemma for daily life. Do you have a lecture note? Okay. Today, I want to explain first the history of a dilemma in brief. First, you noticed history is just history. The Buddha is a historical person, not legendary figures. There are something to improve. 2,600 years ago, there's a person who was well known as a Buddha, who attained enlightenment. There are some historical evidence. They can be found in India, where the Buddha appeared. Okay? Therefore, the Buddha is not a legendary figure. So what the Buddha taught also, the teachings of the historical person. One of his teachings, as you know, especially the Buddha has to teach Dhamma, the Buddha taught Dhamma. Dhamma is Pali term, especially the Buddha used his discourse and other his teachings. Dhamma has very wide meaning. Therefore, it is left untranslated. But you should be careful about these two terms. Dhamma, in Sanskrit term, is Dharma. Pali term is a Dhamma, meaning is the same. Most books on Buddhism used this term, and Sanskrit Dharma. Okay? Dharma, pure Pali term is Dhamma, is the same meaning. Like that, Nibbana, Nirvana. Sanskrit is Nirvana, Pali is Nirvana. It's the same meaning. So, not too confused, I explain about that. So, we should know about the Dhamma. The Buddha taught Dhamma. This Dhamma can be classified into Dhamma and Abhidhamma. Abhi is prefix. That is, it can be explained special Dhamma or profound Dhamma. When the Buddha mentioned his teachings, the Buddha used this term specially, Dhamma Vinaya, together, compound words. Dhamma Vinaya. Mostly, many sutta is used, Dhamma Vinaya. Yo imasame Dhamma Vinaya apamato vihasati pahaya chati samsaram dukha sandam garesati. The Buddha used Dhamma Vinaya, referring to his teachings. Okay? Dhamma and Vinaya. So, commentaries explain in many, many meanings about the Dhamma Vinaya. So we should understand, briefly, the Buddha's teaching is Dhamma and Vinaya. Dhamma can be classified into Dhamma and Abhidhamma. Now I want to explain about the history of Abhidhamma, according to the commentary traditions, according to tradition. So, why is it called Abhidhamma? Abhidhamma is a unique part of Buddhism. It is one of the Tripitaka Pali texts which explains Dhamma in detail in analytical way. That is a test of the meaning of Abhidhamma, I explain, definition. Okay? It is one of the Tripitaka Pali texts which explain Dhammas in detail in analytical way. That is the meaning of Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma, that explains, Abhidhamma is a so-called because it explains dhammas and vidhi in an analytical way. Now you are studying dhamma. Therefore, to realize dhamma, to understand dhamma, to know the meanings of dhamma, Abhidhamma is so important. Is it that? Because Abhidhamma explains dhamma. Abhidhamma will explain dhamma. Okay? Abhidhamma will explain dhamma in detail and analytical way. Regarding the explanations of dhamma, it does so in a much more detailed way than the suttas. That is why the test is called Abhidhamma. First, I explained the meanings of Abhidhamma. Okay? Abhi and Dhamma, two words. Abhi is prefix, meaning is special or profile. Dhamma is Dhamma. So, I repeat, Abhidhamma is so called because it explains Dhamma and Didi in analytical way. That is why the test is called Abhidhamma. After that, we should go to historical finds. Who is the author of Abhidhamma? There's a controversy. Okay? Who is the author? Who is the author? The Buddha is the author of Abhidhamma. This answer given by Theravada traditions. Maybe Mahayana traditions also their answer will give. The Buddha is the author of Abhidhamma. There was a controversy about the authorship. It has to be said that Abhidhamma is not the teachings of the Buddha. Indeed, it is the only later work. Some of scholars say like that. But they should show some evidence. Believing or not believing is not so important. It's depend on individuals. Okay? History is just history, not the knowledge of dhammas, not dhammas. This is value as a history, only history. Here, therefore, here is a controversy. Buddhaghosa, a new commentator in Theravada tradition, Tripitaka commentators. A new commentator advocates that Abhidhamma is the Buddha's teaching. It is described in his commentary on Dhammasangani, the Atthasalini, the expositors by name. He explained and so and so commentary, history. I don't like to explain in detail about histories, okay? Only just the introduction. Then second question. Maybe the answers are different answers. Okay? Who is the author? Theravada tradition, according to Theravada traditions, Theravada circumstances, will say, will give the answer, the Buddha is the author of Abhidhamma. But the others may say it is only later work. Whatever may be, after studying Abhidhamma, you will know, you will understand that is the teachings of Buddha or not. It's left for your decisions. Okay? I will not talk about that. Then, The second question, who brought Abhidhamma to the human world? In Theravada Buddhist circles, it is widely accepted that Abhidhamma was taught to deities. According to Theravada tradition, Abhidhamma was not taught in human world. It was taught in deity world. Okay? In the seventh year after his enlightenment, the Buddha went to the world of deities and taught Abhidhamma for 3 months. For 3 months, according to the human calendar. Okay? For 3 months, according to human calendar. For deities' calendars. Maybe deities' calendars are longer than human calendars. During those days, the Buddha, being human with the body to sustain, came down to the human world for purpose of having meals every morning. That's according to commentary I explained. Commentaries are traditions handed over from generation to generation. Commentaries, Venerable Buddha Gosa, you should notice, Venerable Buddha Gosa is not a pioneer of commentaries. He's not pioneers. Some scholars blame Buddha Gosa. Buddha Gosa presented only his ideas. No, not like that. Buddha Gosa never presented his idea in his commentary. According to tradition, he explained. He repeated about that openly. Honestly, he explained in introductions, in opinion, his text. The Buddha Gosa's honestly explained, mentioned about that. Therefore, Buddha Gosa, Venerable Buddha Gosa, is not pioneer of commentaries. He's mentioned only traditions. So, as a human being with a body to sustain, came down the human world for purpose of having meals every morning. That is a human nature. Without the food, you cannot stay. But here is in Nyingma tradition, there are some people who can sustain for 3 months or 1 year without the food. They are called Ahara Siddhi. Is it possible or not? Even Buddhas have taken meals. Isn't that? Buddha is a human being. Therefore, as a human being, it's a need for food to sustain. Can you remain without the food? How many days can you remain? It is impossible. It's a human, it's just a human being. So, the Buddha is having meals for every morning. Uttara Kuru. I cannot identify where is Uttara Kuru. Well, that is the only location or just history. So the northern continent was the place where the Buddha went for alms food. Maybe Germany and Russia. Uttara Kuru, the northern continent, was the place where the Buddha went for alms food. After lunch, the Buddha rested under a big tree on the bank of the lake Anotata. This is Anotata, is a Himalaya. In Himalaya mountain, there is a great lake. Venerable Sariputta, one of the Buddha's chief disciples, approached and served the Buddha water. In those days, there are no planes to go there. They use only mental power. The Buddha succeeded in samatha meditation using mental power. Venerable Buddha Gosa also using mental power, go there, went there. Okay? There are ways how to attain such a mental power. Even today, there are ways. If you practice, you may succeed. If you succeed, you need not a passport and a visa. No need a ticket to buy. So, after lunch, the Buddha rested under a big tree on the bank of the lake and ordered Venerable Sariputta, one of the Buddha's chief disciples, approached and served the Buddha water. During these meetings with the Venerable Sariputta, the Buddha briefed him about what he had taught in the deity world. Venerable Sariputta thus learned and brought the Dhamma to the human world. So in this way, there's a daily communication. Venerable Sariputta and Buddha. Okay. So there's a communication. But not use telephone. The communications. Venerable Sariputta thus learned and brought Dhamma to the human world. Then he taught his bhikkhu disciples the doctrine. In this way, Dhamma was introduced into our human world. However, it should be noted that Dhamma taught to the deities is in great detail, and that Abhidhamma retold by Venerable Sariputta is concise. That is a different you should be. Okay? We should understand there are two types of Abhidhammas. Abhidhamma taught to the deities is in great detail. And Abhidhamma retold by Venerable Sariputta is concise. So, our human world Abhidhamma is only concise. Condensed Abhidhamma. Even condensed Abhidhamma, there's big volumes. Even only Patthana is about 2,800 pages. So, even only Abhidhamma, Patthana, 7 Abhidhamma treaties. Okay? In brief, according to Theravada tradition, Abhidhamma taught by the Buddha himself, Abhidhamma is, the Buddha is the author of Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma is taught in deity world, but brought by Venerable Sariputta, introduced Abhidhamma to our human world. But in different, a little different, the Buddha taught to the deity is in great detail. The Abhidhamma retold by Venerable Sariputta is concise. So according to Theravada tradition, there are 7 Abhidhamma tests. Abhidhamma comprises 7 tests. As I give you, first is Pali names Dhamma Sangani. Okay? Dhamma Sangani, the explanations of Dhamma. Second, Vibhanga, the Buddha analysis. Part Dhatu Katha, the speech on the elements. Fourth, Pogla Panyati, designation of individuals. Fifth, Katha Vattu, points of controversy. Sixth, Yamaka, the book of pairs. And seventh, Patthana, the book of conditions. So there are also some, you can read the others. Okay? If there is something you want to know, please ask me questions later. I think this is enough to introduce the Vida Master. Okay? So, to know the history about the Vida Master, to know the Dhamma which is taught in Vida Master is more important. How to understand the Vida Master? So we should continue the Vida Master for daily practice. So in brief, I will explain. Maybe do you want to know how many subjects, how many types of dhammas are explained in Vida Master? First, we should explain. How many types of dhammas are explained in Vida Master? How many Vida Master topics? Okay? So the two types of dhammas that are explained in Vida Master, only two. Two types were explained in Vida Master. Vida Master topics are only two, Panyati and Pramatta. Technical terms, let me use these technical terms, Pali terms, because of terms are very important. Sometimes it is very difficult to translate. It is very difficult to find equivalent words, okay? Therefore, using the technical term is better. So, Vida Master deal with these two topics, Panyati and Pramatta. What is Panyati? Panyati is a concept. Concept. Panyati comprises name and things. Panyati means only concept, designation. Panyati is just a label, just a name. So Mr. White, Mrs. Black, Mrs. White, these are Panyati. Isn't that? Only just a name is Panyati. Here are things, everything have names. These names are Panyati. Okay? Panyati comprises names and things. All names, human name and the name of something is also Panyati. All names and things are Panyati. We can say, Panyati, we can divide it into two. The names are Panyati. Because through names, we are able to know things. Through name, we have to know things. Without a name, cannot know. Is it that? This is a name, the whiteboard marker. That is just a name, whiteboard marker. That is, you see within your eye, that is a thing. If I told you, please give me whiteboard markers, you will bring these things. You cannot bring name. This is a name mention of the thing, isn't that? So, this is Panyati. Panyati is a name. So, names are Panyati. Name also Panyati, because through names we are able to know things. Through name, we are able to know things. Then second, things are also Panyati. This also Panyati, the things we see, that is also Panyati. Because they have to be known through names. Okay? True name, it is have to know. So that is a literally explanation. Panyati. Panyapiyatiti Panyati. Panyapetiti Panyati. Names are Panyapeti. True names, we are able to know things. This is a Panyapetiti Panyati. We call another Sata Panyati. This is a name. Then, things are also Panyati, Because they have to know true names, have to be known true names. That is also finite. Both are finite names and things. Because I have to know. Okay? All of these names we call, all these words we use are Sadda Panyati. Sadda means sound or words. All languages are Panyati. All words are Panyati. If I say some people may not understand the German people may understand Gottamog. Gottamog. So, good morning, Supoban, all like that. These are Panyati, you see. Words are also Panyati. Not reality. Therefore, people are used in different ways. In Burmese language, Kaulo Nanekema, some people don't understand. Huh? If you say good morning, that is German people understand. Good morning, who goes and understand English, they understand. So, because of Panyati is not reality. This is just imaginary, created by people. Realities are not created by people. Reality is just a natural law. Okay? So therefore, different. All of the names we call, all names, whatever may be, Mr. White, Mr. Smith, or whatever may be, all the names we call, and all of the words we use, in any language, that is our call, Sadda Panyati. Because through them we have to know the things concerned. The things are also Atta Panyati. Atta means things. Because they have to know by means of words. Okay? Everything has two, the thing in name. This is bottle of water, pure water, it's a name and a thing, together. Both are concept, panyati, okay? Then, another characteristic I will explain, panyati. Panyati changes, it is a designation when it is a form or substance changes. This is a panyati. Panyati is ever changed. When form changed, you see, you are wearing dress. Maybe this is made of cotton. Isn't that? To clear the meaning, first is a cotton. It is, we can get it from the plant. Isn't that? Cotton plant. So first we get cotton. After making thread, it's no more cotton. We call this a thread. Isn't that? No more cotton. Because it is changed. Names are changed. Before first one is a cotton. After that, we call thread. After weaving, we call dress or cloth. No more cotton, no more thread. It's become cloth. At that present, we say many things. This is a robe, the yellow robe, the brown robe, and a t-shirt, and like that. Many, many different. So, when the figure changes, Panyati changes. That is Panyati's characteristic. Okay? This also, you see now, what do you call? This is bottle of water, you see. If I put it inside a wine, bottle of wine, not bottle of water. If beer, bottle of beer. So change. This also fast and not we call plastic. So it's a change. The wood also fast, it is a tree. After cut down, it is a called timer or wood. Then it is a normal wooden long chair and a table. After cut into piece, it's become pine wood. After that, it will be char, then ash. Oh, changes. This is Panyati. Okay? Paramatma is not like that. Therefore, Panyati changes its definition when it is a form of substance. Substance changes. It is, however, conventional truth, Sammuti Satya. Panyati is Sammuti Satya. Sammuti Panyati is the same or Satya. Satya. In Sanskrit, they use this as Satya. The same meaning. Even today, I think this Sri Lanka also uses this Satya. Okay? Satya, Satta. This is Pali. This is Sanskrit. The same meaning. Sambhuti Satya. Sambhuti Satya. This is also very important. That is a conventional truth. Sambhuti Satya is a conventional truth because it is something that is greatly accepted, generally accepted by people. Everybody knows that this is a white ball marker. This is generally accepted. Nobody rejects it. There is not a white marker, cannot reject. That is a table, everybody generally accepted. Is there any person who rejects it? This is not a table, this is a chair. Because of Panyati is a Sammuti Satya. As an agreement, general agreement, we accept. He is my father, he is mine, she is my mother, my brother, my sister, also generally accepted. This is a Sammuti Satya. Okay? Because it is something that is generally accepted. Sammuti Satya is also very important. The Buddha using conventional truth, Sammuti Satya, gives guidelines dealing with this general status, social status, using Sammuti Satya. Dealing with the status, obligation of human society, morality, conditions of success in life, and so on. Rules and regulations are depend on Sammuti Satya. Okay? So, that cannot be rejected. In Mangala Sutta, the Buddha said, Mata Pitu Upatthana. In conventional truth, Mata Pitu Upatthana, the attendance of mother and father or parents is blessing or auspicious. So, mother, father, in conventional truth, it is correct. Generally accepted. But in ultimate sense, there is no mother, no father. Only mind and matter. That's the ultimate. But if we say ultimate truth, no mother be to upadhana, not necessary mother be to upadhana. Okay? But we must use this obligation of human society. We must accept mother and father. Morality. Anaripada, Viramani Sekha, Adhina Dana, Viramani Sekha, like morality is also. The Buddha is using conventional truth to explain morality. And conditions of all success in life also, the Buddha used conventional truth. Therefore, Sammuti Satya is very important. But if you attach to Sammuti Satya, you cannot attain Nirvana. Is it that? If you want to be free from all suffering, you must remove the attachment to Sammuti Satya. You must upgrade your knowledge to paramattha. If you accept as your mother, you love your mother, you attach to your mother, you cannot free from suffering. Okay? Therefore, in social standard, obligation of human society, mother is mother, we must attend mother, we must respect mother or father. But in ultimate sense, we should remove attachment to mother or to parents. Therefore, the Buddha explained in the second, to attain Nirvana. That is called paramattha. Paramattha is ultimate reality. Paramattha, ultimate reality. The Dhamma of ultimate reality is that they never change. They never change in their characteristic. It is real forever. This paramattha is real forever. The ultimate reality is abstract truth, ultimate truth. Samudhi Satya is conventional truth. Paramattha Satya, ultimate truth or abstract truth. Okay? Abstract truth, Paramattha Satya. Using the Paramattha Satya, the Buddha expounds the wisdom of realization. Wisdom of realization and emancipation or liberation. Okay? This is a Paramattha Satya is higher level. Samudhi Satya is lower level. Both is important. These are both the two truths will be explained in Abhidhamma. Okay? So, paramattha. How many paramattha dhammas are explained in Abhidhamma? The ultimate reality can be divided into four. According to its own characteristic, in this level, the Buddha will explain these four, paramattha, ceda, okay, ceda sika, rupa, this is about that, this is a nibbana, this is a samsara level, so this is a nibbana, okay? We are composed of citta, cittasika, and rupa. Abhidhamma will deal with these four. This is our ultimate realities, four paramattas. Number one, citta. This is the Lord Buddha used these technical terms to mention consciousness. Okay? The English term is consciousness. What about the German terms? I heard German words are more suitable for philosophies. Is it that? Very close to some of the Pali's also. Indo-European languages. Chitta. So first we should know that chitta. Just the translation is consciousness. Scholars have different ways they translate into English. Some are mind. Mind is not preferred. So consciousness is prefer. The meaning in consciousness is chitta. Because without a feeling, without a perception, without a volition, chitta is just awareness. Okay? Therefore, consciousness. Number two, chetasikas, mental state. Mental state. Our mental property, we can use mental state and mental property, that is a chetasika. Chetasikas do what? Cheta, number one, cheta, number two, cheta. these two are the same meaning. Chaita and Chaita. Then and then Ika, Sika. Chaita and Chaita, the same meaning. Ika means dependent on Chaita, arising from Chaita. That is the meaning. Born of Chaita. Okay? Chaita Sika means dependent on Chaita, or born of Chaita. The activity of Chaita. Chaitasi Niyogam, Chaitasi Bhavan, Chaitasikam, the definitions are like that. So, just the translations of mental property or mental state. That is Chaitasika. Number one and number two mostly arising together to form my Nama. Number three is Rupa. Rupa translates Metta. The other way also they translate Metta. Rupa is Metta. So we are composed of these. Number one and number two are mind. Number three is Metta. Mind and Metta. When you meditate, this is the object of meditation, mind and Metta. So you know when you practice Chaitta Nupassana, this is number one and number two, so Chaitta Nupassana, or Dhamma Nupassana, okay? Vedana Nupassana is number two. Kaya Nupassana is number three. So Abhidhamma is so important for meditation practice also. If you don't know, if you do not have the knowledge of Abhidhamma, you cannot profoundly understand the meanings of the object of meditation. So Abhidhamma is analysis of meditation object and teaching. So that is so important to us. You may be perfect. If you have knowledge of Abhidhamma, you may be perfect in Dhamma, Dhamma knowledge, if you have knowledge of Dhamma. If you lack of Abhidhamma knowledge, you cannot be perfect in Dhamma knowledge. Is it that? This is my opinion. You, do you agree or not agree? This depends on you. Consciousness, mental state, and mental property, or metta. Nibbana is we explain it later. Because of so early I have to go to Nibbana. We must understand first Chaita, Chaita Sika, and Metta. Okay? Rupa. Nibbana is a state of freedom from attachment. The meaning is very important. Some people think Nibbana is in heaven. Nibbana is after death. Not after that, yes, Nirvana is the state of freedom from attachment. Now, where is your attachment more and more? Where is your attachment? I think after the programs, after study, you will go back to your countries, your own home. Attachment is there. Is it that? You go, everybody will go back home. People go home, they may be homesick also. Where there's a attachment, there's a homesick. How many days do you go back in mind? How many days do you go back to your home and mind? But not in body. If a body, you spend a lot of money, must buy a ticket. There's an immigration will disturb you. So, this attachment is so strong. The state of freedom from attachment is called Nirvana. Okay? And the ultimate sense of human being is only concept. Human being is only concept. It is a composed of mind and matter. Mind consists of consciousness and mental property or mental state. So we should understand like that. Now we say we or I, okay? In ultimate sense, a human being is only concept. Isn't that? Man or women, woman is only concept. I, you, we, he, she, only concept. In ultimate sense, this is just concept. It is composed of mind and matter. Number one, number two, number three. So Abhidhamma is will talk about you. Well, you should understand you are about yourself. Many people think I understand myself about myself. We don't know about ourselves, isn't that? We know only who am I, only that. Only roughly. But we don't know profoundly about ourselves. You may remember your names, you may remember your mothers, you may remember your birthplace or date of birth. Only just so and so. But which is composed of you? You may cannot understand about that. So you should learn Abhidhamma, you should study Abhidhamma to understand yourself. Is that? So, a human being is the only concept. It is a composed of mind and matter. Mind consists of consciousness and the mental state. Nirvana is a state in which mind and matter become completely extant. Completely extant. Okay? Completely ceased. Extant. Nirvana is a state. Nirvana is a state in which mind and matter become completely extant. Nirvana cannot be known with attachment. As long as you have attachment, you dislike Nirvana. Because our Nirvana is stayed free from attachment. Is it that? As long as you have attachment. Attachments are so strong, you see. It's a freedom from attachment. Therefore, the term the Buddha used Nirvana. Nirvana. Ni means free. Vana means attachment, free from attachment. So not after that, we can attain Nirvana. Where there is attachment, there is worry. Isn't that? Where there is attachment, there is worry. Where there is no attachment, there is not worry. If you have attachment in Afghanistan, you may worry about it. If you have no attachment in Afghanistan, you have no worries. Have you any worry? Have you any worry about you don't know, about the person you don't know? Is there any attachment? No. There are every day many, many people die. We never worry about it. About it. Why? We have no attachment. Where there's attachment, there's worries. Isn't that? It's, you can contemplate yourself. Where is my attachment arises, worry arises there. Where there's no attachment, there's no worry. The Buddha taught like that. That is present conditions that is very important to understand. Where is your attachment? Maybe your family is your attachment. You have a family, that family is your attachment. For family, you have a worry. More and more. For other, about other family, you may have no attachment, therefore no worry about them, whatever may be. Is that? So, anywhere, to anywhere, if we are free from attachment, how will we be peaceful? That is the Nirvana state. Okay, therefore, Nirvana, the state of freedom from attachment. If we free from attachment, freedom from attachment, we have a freedom from all suffering. Okay, let me stop.